Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study titled Children and Fathers in Colossians chapter 3 verses 20 and 21. This is part 2 study of 2. Was 12 men who followed Jesus. One committed suicide. 10 of the others were murdered. And the other one was severely persecuted, and God prolonged his life so he could give us the book of Revelation. They weren't prosperous financially. They were prosperous spiritually, but they weren't prosperous financially. They didn't have perfect health. And I don't care how much you say, "Oh, in Jesus' name, I claim it." And some of them are out there saying, "I declare." Blow it out your ear. You can declare all you want. You are not God. God might want you to die. You realize that? God might want you to die. God might want you to suffer. I mean, the book of Job isn't the only place where you see that. In the New Testament, you see it in Paul. God might not want you to be rich. God might want you to just get by. Now, don't blame God when you waste all your money. But there's some people I see work, 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 and it's just like one thing after another, and they just praise the Lord. And I just described the oddballs. But, yeah, we've seen it. Hard-working people, hardest-working people you'll ever meet. And there's just always something. And you know what? You can have joy in the midst of all that. You can have joy, kids. Growing up in a situation where your parents say, "Work," and then you eat. And I'm not saying you have to be goofy about it. Whee! You know, like the pig in that commercial, head out the window. Whee! But you can have joy. That's something not necessarily going to be always in your, you know, but in your heart, you can find joy in it. And, you know, what I started doing, that's when I started, this back in the day of cassette tapes, but they'd say, they didn't even ask me. I'd see the grass need cut. I'd say, "I'll cut the grass." And Mom said, "Oh, well, that'd be nice." Because I was working. And I'd give them little money. I didn't pay rent like, a normal rental. But Mom was like, "This boy is saved." He's offering to do these things. You know? And I'd get the Walkman out and have... She had the New Testament, Alexander Scorby, and I listened to Alexander Scorby while I was doing my thing. All the neighbors probably thought I was out there listening to AC/DC, you know, because that's what I would have been listening to before I got saved. And so it happened to Jenny when she met me. She seen me with the headphones on all the time. "I wonder what he's listening to." And she found out it was Alexander Scorby. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. All right, Johnny, that's your pickup line right there. "What do you listen to?" "Alexander Scorby." But that's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be. In the millennium, you're going to work. And it's going to be a joy. There's an old saying, "As blessed is the man whose work is his play." Well, if you got the right attitude, work can be like that. I'd work downtown, and I don't go into details or anything, but I work downtown, and I would work all day long, and you know, taking this and doing that, and I'd have people standing around just watching. You know? And I could have got mad about that. That's an injustice. I didn't. I just decided, you know what? The Lord sees that, and He sees this, and as long as He's pleased with what I'm doing, I work as unto the Lord. Amen. Had a little igloo cooler with a bumper sticker that says, "My boss is a Jewish carpenter." Amen. Not only was that something that I tried to live by, but it opened the door for witnessing. And I didn't get rich, but sometimes I felt like Joseph. Not that Joseph, the one in the Bible. And how Joseph, you know, was surrounded by crooks and liars, and his own brothers sold him into slavery, and yet God just kept blessing him and blessing him. That's how I felt. And you can feel that way too. No matter where you work, if you stop looking at everybody around you and only look up, As a child, your parents may even seem like they're being a little hard on you. But if you won't look around and say, well, Johnny down the road doesn't have to do what I have to do. That ain't fair. There's actually a great Andy Griffith episode where Opie goes up to his dad and says, you know, I want my allowance doubled. Because he'd give him like a dime. You know, back then that was like 10 bucks. And he says, you know, he wanted it doubled. Well, because his buddy down there, and he didn't want to have to do chores to get it. Mm-hmm. See, Griffith in the episode didn't just give him. It wasn't actually an allowance. It was, you know, really pay for doing his chores. And that's a good thing. Yes. Now, my parents never actually gave me anything as a check or money order or anything like that. But they gave me a whole lot, you know, and I knew that. And so my parents made me understand, hey, this is, you're going to earn your keep around here. Earn your keep. How many heard that? Earn your keep? Yeah. And, you know, that's the way your children should be raised to understand that and take the time to explain to them that's how it is with the Lord. Salvation is free. But if you want to get reward, you better work. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't do anything to be born. Mom and Dad had everything to do with that. Brought me into this world. But if I wanted to be rewarded, it took effort. Now, there was plenty of times they showered me with gifts too. Birthdays and Christmases and all that. But you know what? I think that'll happen even more between your earthly father and your heavenly father if you put forth the effort. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's as much to a 10-year-old as it is to a 50-year-old. Amen. So it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Kids please God when they obey their parents. I tell my kids when I teach my own kids and the kids I teach in church, you want to please the Lord? Then obey your parents. I mean, if you just do that, great is thy reward. I really believe that. Look at Ephesians 6. Just go back a few pages. Ephesians 6. Starts off with the same idea, same words. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now read verses 2 and 3 with me. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, I'm not saying this is a hard rule in all cases by any means, but I want to tell you, with only one or two exceptions, the people I know that I grew up with who died young were very disrespecting toward their parents. You think that's an accident? I mean, it says here that if you don't, I mean, I think it's implied there that if you don't obey your parents, then it will not be well with you. And you won't live long on the earth. And what I think breaks that, if you want to call it consequence, we just call it a sentencing. It's like you've been sentenced in a court of law, is the blood of Christ. You take somebody who has been disrespectful to their parents and caused a lot of heartache in the home and everything, but they get saved. That's my only reason I believe I'm here today. I was a punk. I was an idiot. I put my mom through hell on earth without the flames. And yet, I'll be 50 in September. Why am I still here? The only reason I think God let me live is because I got saved. Amen?
Amen?
I believe it. And the next verse takes us to the fathers. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. It sounds really strange when you just read it, but if you just think about the world we live in and the way families operate most of the time. One problem, we have two extremes today. There is the extreme where they just don't provide any structure, any discipline, and absent fathers, and the women who are abandoned, and don't, you know, the men who aren't raising their children, that kind of thing. And on the other side, you just have some fellas who overdo it. And they might overdo it in control, they might overdo it in discipline and beating a kid and that kind of thing. It happens a whole lot more than I think we know. It is true, Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Now, that's a true statement. But nowhere in there does it say you should beat your kid once a day whether he deserves it or not. And nowhere in there does it say you beat them till it causes physical harm. And nowhere in there is there beating them because you had a bad day at work and you want to take it out on somebody. You see what I'm saying? Don't read more into that than is there, but it is there. And I think it's in our day, the problem is more leaning towards not being willing to correct a child with a rod. My case, it was the belt. In Jenny's case, she used a paddle. You know, whatever, as long as it's within reason and it's not abusive. A good father will love his child enough to use a rod slash belt slash hand. My dad could, you know, get my attention with his hand. But after I got to a certain age, it started to hurt his hand. So he stopped using that and used a belt. That's right. Yeah, that's right. And he could use that on the child's rear. I don't believe in beating him in the back or the head or even the legs. I think, you know, there's a reason why God put that thing there on that rear end. Yeah, amen. But a good father will do that and hate doing it. I think any father who does that and gets any kind of enjoyment out of it, he's got a problem. I never once enjoyed spanking my girls. I won't speak for Jenny. I think there's a couple of times she enjoyed it. But spanking that fella right there. Oh, I don't know. I didn't videotape it, but I swear she came in there one time and said, "That felt so good." Yeah, Doug.
I heard a pastor say one time, he was talking about discipline. I go, "Oh, no, he's going to be talking about discipline." Year ago, and yet he was talking about the word discipline means to disciple.
Yeah, you're getting ahead of me. Amen. Proverbs 13:24, and what Doug is saying is the reason it says this. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. When you have to discipline your child, you'll do it because you love them. And if you don't do it, you don't really love them. Not in the biblical sense of the word love being a verb. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That means occasionally. Betimes means it's not, you don't always resort to the rod. And you're not always beating on the kid. You're selective about it. Why? Because, as Doug's saying, we're not talking about just keeping them in line with a belt or whatever. It's to discipline them to where that you don't have to do that. Discipline, if you have disciplined troops, that means they shine their shoes and they show up on time and they salute when they're supposed to and so forth. The football teams or basketball teams or anything like that where it takes a group or team effort, the ones that win are the disciplined teams. And that doesn't mean that the coach is always having to punish them. It means he doesn't have to punish them because they're disciplined. I love this friend of mine I went to school with is in the ministry, and he put this on his page the other day. A little girl saying, "I'm not a naughty brat. I'm little and I'm still learning. I get overwhelmed and frustrated just like you do because nobody is perfect. Help me, guide me, love me." That's the point. I mean, you start looking at your kid and just thinking, "That little jerk." Go to the prayer closet, man. I mean, and stop being... That's another thing. Parents can become pharisaical about it, as though they don't make any mistakes. When in reality, the guy, he just went to work and made mistakes. Maybe said something he shouldn't have said, let a word slip that he shouldn't let slip, said something to somebody he shouldn't have, maybe covered up something he did was wrong and didn't want to get in trouble. I've watched it. Most of the co-workers I've ever had act like little children. Mm-hmm. And then they probably go home and act like to their kids that they're above all that. Well, I'm not saying that you go home and say, "Oh, I'm no better than anybody, you just do what you want." Obviously, I've made it clear that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, be careful not to think too highly of yourself. When you're disciplining those children, remember, you were once one of them. And sometimes you ain't any better now. And that'll temper your temper. Look at verse 4 in Ephesians 6. I should have told you to keep your finger there if you didn't. Just a few pages though. So, go over to Ephesians 4. We read the first three verses. And we read this back in our study in Ephesians. Read that with me. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Nurture and admonition. That word nurture is to provide spiritual nourishment to your child in the Lord. And that means that the way you discipline your child is to be a picture of the way the Heavenly Father disciplines you. As a parent, you are to picture your relationship with the Heavenly Father. And so, if you're always verbally abusing or beating on your kid, they're going to think that's how God operates. And there's been some people who have real trouble having a relationship with the Lord as an adult because of the way they were handled by their parents. Turn over to Deuteronomy 6. This is what will produce a disciplined child, as long as that child, you know, it takes two to tango in this case. You do your part as a father, and the child has to do their part as well. We already talked about that. But if you have an obedient child, and then you raise your child according to the Word of God and follow, there's numerous places we could go, but I just love this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Every father should highlight this in their Bible. It says in verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in" what?
"Thine heart."
"Thine heart." It's not just carrying a Bible around. Verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy" what?
Children.
"And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." I mean, it's not real difficult if you're in love with the Lord and you're in His Word and you're in a spirit of prayer, an attitude of prayer, and then you're around your kids and your kids say something, and let's say they say, "Well, Billy got in trouble because he said God's name in vain." And you can say, "Well, that's blasphemy and it's wrong. You shouldn't do that." And you can take them to Exodus chapter 20 and show them how that was given in the law. And then you can run references to the passages that talk about the name of God and how we ought to, you know, love the Lord and not blaspheme and all that. That's what it's talking about. Events happen in their lives. Sally's aunt died. And you could ask them, say, "Well, do you know if she was a Christian?" And they say, "Yes." Well, say, "Well, that's sad that Sally's aunt died, but you know where she is right now?" And you can show them in the Scripture what the Bible says about where Sally's aunt is right now. See what I'm saying? That's what that means. Just conversational. You don't have to say, "Well, I'd like to answer that question. If you'd bow your head, we'll open in prayer." Okay, now if you will turn in your Bible, little Johnny, to
Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'd like to preach a three-point message to you now. And you know,
it doesn't have to be that way with your children. You don't have to be that formal. It's just, you're walking and you're talking about the Word of God. Verse 8, and it says, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates." I believe you should do that. Not necessarily just start walking around writing on your walls, but Matt, over at his house, he put a nice little thing. It's a glass thing. Or he can actually just write and change anytime he wants to write on it. And it's right in the kitchen or the dining room wall. And then you can make your own posters and print them out on your computer or use your calligraphy talents and make your own little things and put them on the walls. Yeah, you can use the dry board to put them on, or the refrigerator with magnets or whatever. Yeah, I think do all that stuff. You can buy things now, make your own T-shirts and bumper stickers and things. Have fun with it, with your kids. Amen? A father isn't to be really a friend or foe. A father should be something other than a buddy, but not an enemy either. That's what it means not to provoke your child. You're not an enemy. But don't go to the other extreme and just be a buddy, because they need a father. Here's an example with a son and a mother. I think it's called Calvin and Hobbes. Mm-hmm. And Calvin's mom hears him yell, "Mom, wake up, come quick." She says, "What's wrong? What's the matter?" And she says, "Yes, Calvin." He says, "Mom, is it true what Paul said about how love endures all things?" She says, "I think so, because it's the only thing keeping me from strangling you right now." "Now go back to sleep." And Calvin says, "I bet Paul wouldn't have said that." But that's an example. She's not just a buddy. She is a mother. But she handled that well. She didn't strangle him, for one thing. There's that balance between being a buddy and being an enemy. And it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Kids rebel. It's in their nature. Your kid has a sinful nature. Even if they're saved, they still have that nature. It's like that picture of the dogs. There's a black and a white dog going at it. It's through two natures. You ever seen that? Some of you seen that? So don't push them to it. It's already where they're kind of headed anyway by their nature. So don't provoke them to rebellion. This is a great quote from John Wesley. How many of you know who John Wesley is? He says about the words, "lest they be discouraged," he says, "which may occasion their turning either desperate or stupid." That's a great... Because that's what you'll see. The kids, out of desperation, will start acting out, or they'll just get stupid. And some of us have experienced that, and we know exactly what he meant. So, in closing, just one more thing, as Columbo would say. I mentioned this already, but I'm going to close with this thought about picturing God. A child should see traits of our Heavenly Father in their earthly father. Now, I always tell kids, you don't hold your dad up to too high a standard. He's still a sinner saved by grace, and he still has his own battles and everything. But I've taught the young men that when you become a father, that's what you want to do. You want to be a picture of that relationship with your Heavenly Father. And as Doug mentioned earlier, it's discipline and chastisement. They're not the same thing. Revelation 3:19, Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." That's how Jesus deals with those who He loves. Well, that means sometimes with your kids, you have to just verbally tell them. And then other times, the chastening has to become a little more severe. It might be physical swats, or it might be grounding from the video game or TV or whatever it is your kid's into. And then this: pity and compassion. It's a shame how many parents lose their compassion and pity for their own children. Romans 103, verse 13. It's actually Romans 10, 13, I believe. Yeah, that's my typo. John, that's my typo for the day. Look at that and see which one that is. I'll read it while you're looking. Like as a father pitieth his children. You know what? I think that might be Psalms. It's a big typo. We'll find out the reference, but this is from the Word of God. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Do you think about that with the Lord? Do you know he pities you? No matter how big you think you are, you're still a child of God. And you fathers and you mothers need to remember that. Psalm 103:13. You need to remember that in dealing with your children. And let's just say it, we need to remember that when dealing with one another here as Christians. We need to remember that in dealing with people outside of these walls. Remember, God pities us. It's an idea of having compassion. And we should be that way with others. And of course, it begins at home with our children. And boy, that would change a lot of things, wouldn't it? Change a whole lot of things. Let's sing number 449 in the hymn book, "To God Be the Glory."